Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
Oh, I'm eating chocolate and smashing peeps.
Okay. I didn't realize you're a big peeps person.
I'm not. That's why I'm smashing them.
Oh. Well, happy Zombie
peeps
Jesus
Day.
Peeps
have no reason to live. Happy Zombie Jesus Day.
You're not into the marshmallow fluff thing?
Well, it's not marshmallow fluff. It's more like a Malamar.
Oh, is that what that?
And I just don't like. Yeah.
Oh.
It's not fluff. It's like rubber. With lots of sugar on it. Although using peeps for s'mores might be a good thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no. I only like marshmallow fluff. I don't like marshmallows.
The Google entry for it says that it's a signature fluffy marshmallow texture. Whatever that means.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's made out of sugar, corn syrup, gelatin, and air. So, you know, most of the shit that's not good for you except for air.
Well, I don't know. Air's not that great either.
Well, it depends on where you live, I guess.
Yeah. Are you celebrating Zombie Jesus Day?
No.
No?
No. I have no connection to Easter whatsoever, so it's fine.
None?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I live in an area that takes it very seriously, so like all the places are closed today.
I'm surprised that a lot of places are closed down here too. It's like, really? Easter?
I guess. I mean, I guess it's a holiday just like any other. Like, there are people that'll celebrate it and then people that won't. But, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm sure the Christian right would love to have everything closed all the time for, you know, any kind of religious holiday. But I mean, I think when I was down there last year on Thanksgiving, a lot of stuff was closed, and I don't remember it being like that when I lived down there.
Yeah, that's kind of new with the last few years. Well, maybe since COVID.
Since COVID, yeah.
Where they started the, you know, we're not opening at midnight on Thanksgiving, and we're not having, you know, opening the stores at 5 a.m. the next day. It's like, spend time with your family.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, if they want to give their
shop
people
online
time off, that's fine, you know.
Yeah, sure.
I can make my own dinner. I'm a big boy.
Well, I would guess restaurants and Walmart are open, so, you know.
Restaurants around
here
aren't.
You're covered if you didn't. Oh, really?
Yeah, even the fast food places. Like I went the other day to Chipotle, and it was, like, closed on Easter. And then I saw that at a couple other places, and I was like, huh, okay. So not even the fast food places are going to be open.
Wow.
Yeah. So since you're in Florida, did you watch the Artemis launch, like, by looking outside? Nope. No?
No.
Yeah.
It's a big streak of clouds. It's like, okay,
but
that's
it's
great.
Historic, man. It's a historic streak of clouds.
Whatever.
You can tell the next generation
that
you were
there. We're going close to the moon.
Well, so Artemis 2 is simply to test all the systems with people aboard. And they're going to go out, they're going to pass the moon by 6,000 miles and then turn around and come back. And then the next, I believe the next one next year will be sending a lander down, an empty lander down. And then the year after that, it'll be people back on the moon.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah. It is crazy that in 50 years we've forgotten how to get to the moon.
Well, have we?
Why, were you saying we didn't go to the moon last time? Are you one of those people?
No, I just, I I can't believe that there's, I don't know, maybe everything was in mothballs and they had to start from scratch.
I guess so. I mean, I guess technology had advanced to the point where like it's all different now. But
yeah,
it's still crazy. I mean, it's still crazy to think that like we can't just go to the moon and land.
Right. But they're going to go up there and they're going to find all the trash from the previous moon landings.
Yeah, and then it would shut up all the people that think that we didn't go to the moon.
Oh, facts don't stop stupidity.
I know. There was already... I was doom scrolling on Instagram and there were a bunch of fucking conspiracy videos of like... During the launch, there's... The emergency evacuation basket thing that like the astronauts would have gotten in if they had to clear the pad quickly. I don't know if it's supposed to or it malfunctioned or whatever, but it slid down during the launch. And there were all these people going, see, they're not in there. They're actually in a soundstage somewhere. And it's like, come on. Like how stupid can you be? But then I remember the state of America, so pretty fucking stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. 2/3 of America are morons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to think that in my lifetime, I might get to see people walk on the moon. Because I missed the Maybe. First round.
We'll see. Yeah, you did.
I did.
Mm-hmm. As long as this time a midget doesn't run into the room screaming, the space shuttle crap, the space shuttle blew up.
Yeah. Oh, good times.
Yes.
I mean, but like, so how many people can say that they learned that the Columbia blew up on reentry from a dwarf? Not many.
Exactly.
Not many.
Not many at all.
We had an experience like nobody else, so.
That's right.
You know.
One for the history books. Where were you when the Columbia blew up on reentry? Well.
I was standing in an office, and then a dwarf ran by the door, and then we all went to the TV. Oh man.
Ah, good times.
History.
Yeah.
So what have you been watching this week?
Oh, the usual.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you want to start?
Let's talk about Paradise.
Okay.
Paradise had its final episode this week. And I'm mm-hmm. curious to know how you felt about the revelations of what was revealed in the last episode.
Well, now it's, I mean, they're not being very overt about it. So it's kind of like, okay. I mean, obviously Sinatra admits to the anomaly that she saw.
Yeah.
But now I'm wondering, so is this one of those things where the explosion happens and it resets the timeline, or are they really dead? Do you think we're going to see in episode 1, season 3, Jane crawling out of the rubble?
Well, she wasn't in the bathroom at the end of the episode.
Right.
So, possibly. But so, I don't know how to feel about the, hey, there's a supercomputer that can fuck with time idea.
Right.
If this had been hinted at from episode 1 of season 1, I think mm-hmm. I'd be a little bit more okay with it. But yeah. The idea that, like, this has all come to fruition in the last couple of episodes of season 2, Like season two, right, for the longest time was just this linear story about dude trying to find his wife and the shit that led up to him finding his wife. And mm-hmm. now there's a guy that is basically a glitch in the matrix of a main character's dead son. And mm-hmm. like, I don't know. I feel like they're jumping the shark already. I feel like there's been no payoff to this other than how do we get people to tune back in next year?
Right.
And there was never a mention of Alex. There was never a mention of timeline anomalies or any of that stuff in season one. And I feel like they right. sold us a very different show than what they're trying to produce now.
Right.
So I don't know how to feel about it. I think it's good storytelling. I think the story of Xavier trying to find his wife was really good, and the things that led up to that. And mm-hmm. like even the thing with not the last episode, but the episode before, where you had these three storylines converging of there were people outside the door, the people from the prison were trying to make it so that all the doors would open so people could leave. Like, there was this whole thing going on where, like, you could see that, like, oh, shit's going to go down because they're going to open the doors and then all these people are going to come flooding in and they're going to see what they've built and they're going to want to live there. And it just kind of literally blows up and you're like, mm-hmm. okay, so now there's a story that I didn't necessarily sign up for.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. It's a very weird way to end a show second season.
Mm-hmm. Especially with all the reveals in this last season.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very weird. I don't know. Like, it got to the end and I was like, okay. Now, like, trying to take it all in and being like, well, there's a supercomputer that they now have to get to, and it's given this prophecy about user X and how he's got to shut the computer down. And it's like, why would the computer give a prophecy about its own termination? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. The whole supercomputer angle is just bothering me.
I mean,
because this was kind of like, you know, mankind triumphing over catastrophe. And now it's kind of like, oh, it's, you know, it's Skynet. It's War Games. It's yeah. so many other shows that, you know, the super bad computer is now going to become self-aware and work on its own preservation.
Yeah, and like for a split second before they revealed that it was a computer, there the last time on package had the one scientist guy talk to his wife Alex, and I was like, oh,
right,
are we going to try to say that like they found her and they've kept her alive and she's like the linchpin to something? And nope, she's dead. Everybody's
yep.
You know, everybody's just covering for this supercomputer. And I was like, okay, that's a weird place to go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think there's any hint of that storyline until like more than halfway through the season. And it's just a weird place to go. It's like they ran out of things to write.
Well, it's kind of like it's one of those like things they want to pay off in the future, and they weren't really sure how to introduce it.
And maybe.
You know, because obviously there's some sort of future interaction in the whole episode where they go to the hospital to try to kill Jane when she's born.
Yeah.
But they never really, I don't know. I mean, does anybody ever say, it's like, well, where'd you get this information? How do you know this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's very weird.
And now that there is this major explosion, is this going to set up other catastrophes? And does it become, you know, like a Towering Inferno airplane disaster movie instead of, you know, whatever it was beforehand?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, I was excited last year when the finale aired and Xavier was going to go find his wife. I was like, this could be very cool in the future. And then this time I'm like, I don't really know how much I'm digging this whole thing anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I don't. We're going to have to wait.
I guess so. Whole nother year.
We're going to. Yeah. What else have you watched?
High Potential.
Okay, that was a good one.
Now I'm trying to think of what happened in the episode.
There's the robbery at the beginning. The captain ends up on the scene before Karadek and Morgan get there.
Yeah, and it turns into his backstory of why he wound up. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, again, this season they seem to be spending a lot of time developing side characters. And I think that's good.
Yeah.
I think it fleshes it out more than just Super Morgan. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I thought that one was pretty good too. Did you watch the two episodes of Daredevil?
I did.
Yeah. How you feeling about this season?
I really liked the scene in the makeshift prison where all the people were in the cages.
At the end, yeah.
And, you know, people dying by having rebar thrown at them. And it's like, oh, okay, that's different.
So I'm assuming that was the swordsman that was doing that. Because Matt made the point in the beginning of, like, we can't kill these people.
Right.
So that had to be the swordsman that was just like heaving rebar over Matt's shoulder and stuff. But yeah, that whole kind of ending where, they're trying to escape and the little girl shows up and she's like, I can help. Mm-hmm. And she's got the white tiger amulet on and it's like, oh, she's a new white tiger.
Right.
Like it was really well done with the story building and, it gets to the very end and they blow up the ship with the people in it and it like throws Matt for a loop.
Right.
I was like, wow. Okay. Like it's the first season was really well done. And I feel like this is right on the heels of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like the fake Fisk.
Oh yeah, the what's her name in the mask who's like doing propaganda videos.
Uh huh. Yes.
I mean, it's funny because like you look around at what's happening today in America, and it's eerily similar to like ice locking down a city. And
yeah,
and you got half of the people are like, this is the best. And you got half of the people going, this sucks. And it's mm-hmm. just a very interesting, like, parallel between the two.
It's frightening.
Yeah.
It's very frightening.
I mean,
hey, what can he do?
It does ask the question of, like, if this is supposed to be modern day, well, not modern day, but in, like, futuristic New York, because the MCU is kind of projected into the future a little bit. Mm-hmm. Where is Spider-Man? Where is any of the Avengers? Like, Avengers Tower should be affected by the Fisk stuff.
You would think, right?
So, yeah. So where are they? What are they doing?
Are we going to find out this is a different Earth?
It shouldn't be. I mean, Matt has made appearances in the MCU, so...
Right.
I don't know. It's just weird that, like, none of this is connected to the actual MCU. I mean, even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is it? Well, it might be.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I went and saw a movie in the theater this week.
Really?
Yes.
You're brave.
Well, I knew that the movie had been out for a while, so I didn't figure there'd be that many people there, and there really wasn't. But I went to see Project Hail Mary with Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
It's a really good movie. It's a great mixture of science fiction and humor and high stakes for the mission that he's on. And, you know, it's not really a spoiler because it's in the trailer and all, but, like, he meets an alien and mm-hmm. they're trying to solve this problem that's affecting both of their worlds. And it's a long movie. It's like 2 hours and 40 minutes. But I don't feel like any of it was wasted. Like, there was no kind of, like, fluff to it. Yeah.
Okay.
It's from the same, it was a novel that was written by the same author as The Martian, and they made The Martian into a movie with Matt Damon a couple of years ago.
Right.
And I love that movie. That was a, what's his name? The guy that did Blade Runner. Ridley Scott. It's a Ridley Scott movie. And this was actually done by Lord and Miller, who famously had done the first shot at Solo, A Star Wars Story. And then were let go by Lucasfilm because their tone didn't really match with Lucasfilm, I guess. And so this is their like sci-fi movie that they did, and it was written by Drew Goddard and stuff. So, like, it's got a really good pedigree of, like, creative folks behind it. But it's really well done. Like, when it shows up on streaming, and I think it's going to end up on Amazon because there's an Amazon banner at the very beginning that it's an Amazon movie. So okay. I say when it goes to Amazon, if you have a couple hours to watch a movie, Project Hail Mary is probably a good one to watch.
And how was the movie going experience?
It was fine. There was probably a dozen or so people in the theater. It was like a 10:30 in the morning show. And it's been out for a couple of weeks. So I was like, okay. It was in a smaller theater. So, I couldn't get, like, middle row where I wanted. So I was off to the side a little bit, and these two people came and sat down about three seats down. and the dude was complaining about his job before the movie started, like the entire time, bitching about how they don't respect him and blah blah blah, and like loud enough for everybody in the theater to hear. And I was like, this dude's gonna get on my nerves if he pulls this bullshit in the middle of the movie. And the movie started, the trailer played, the one trailer that we got played, and he decided that he was gonna mix his popcorn. So like he was shaking the bag vigorously, like at the end of the trailer, and I was like, motherfucker, you're gonna be a dick through this entire thing. And he made one comment out loud at one point, and I kind of shot him a death look, and he was like facing towards me, because he was on the left of the woman, and I was to the right of her. So like when he turned to look at her, he was also looking down towards me, and I think he saw me, so he shut the fuck up, and I was like, good fucking thing.
Wow.
Because I did not want to be like, shut the fuck up, man. I would have, but I didn't want to.
You didn't go over and dump your popcorn on his head?
No.
No?
I don't get popcorn when I go to the movies. It's too expensive.
Well, yeah, that too.
And if I get a drink, then it's like, it's a 2-hour and 40-minute movie, and then I'm gonna have to like pee, and then I don't want to miss the movie, and I just
rather have an empty cup.
Excuse me while I whip this out. But I mean, it was a typical movie going experience.
Yeah. I really don't remember the last time I was in a movie theater. Might have been Dial of Destiny.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now I see why you don't want to go back.
It's like, why? I can watch it from my couch. I can make my own popcorn exactly how I want it.
Yeah.
I'm not paying $17 for a large soda.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm okay.
I also watched a movie on Netflix, Nuremberg, which is Rami Malek and Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe plays Hermann Goering after World War II and like the Nuremberg trials. And it's like Rami Malek plays a psychiatrist in real life who was sent to the prison to kind of get into the heads of the Nazis to use it against them at Nuremberg. And from what I understand, while the psychiatrist role is kind of blown up more for the movie, it's fairly historically accurate to what actually happened in Nuremberg. Like all of the speeches that they give at the trial and all the things that they say is like straight verbatim from the trial. And it's a lot of talk that when you hold it up to the current state of the United States is creepy, because a lot of the shit they say is exactly what's going on now. And it's like, wow.
Okay. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it that was a little weird too, watching that and being like, oh, I know exactly what they're talking about.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I mean, it's a good movie. It's another kind of longer movie, but Rami Malek's really good. Russell Crowe's really good.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty good.
See, I've been working my way through The Artful Dodger on Hulu.
Yeah.
At the end of season one, Oliver Twist shows up.
Oh.
and he's this fat asshole who has Dodger's paperwork from when he fled England.
Okay.
And he's trying to blackmail him, and he ends up getting, well, he doesn't get off, but he does get away.
Hmm.
And then they find him and put him in prison. And then in season two, he goes on trial. It's really well written for a historical, you know, soap opera kind of thing.
Hmm. Okay.
It's like, I really love the idea that there's modern music playing as part of, you know, the soundtrack for this.
Okay.
And the cast is just, I mean, Dave Thewlis,
mm-hmm.
who was Lupin in the Harry Potter movies, is Fagin.
Yeah.
And he's just great.
Yeah.
He's just great. And it's, you know, there's all these twists and turns as usual. And, you know, if anybody's into like historic reenactments and dramas, I would recommend it.
Okay.
So there's that. Not a lot, really. I watched the first two episodes of the UK version of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. How was that?
Well, the first one had Tina Fey hosting.
That's cheating.
But it's very British.
Yeah.
The second one was hosted by Jamie Dornan.
Okay.
Who is in what are those sex movies with Dakota Johnson?
Oh, 50 Shades of Grey?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. First episode, they did kind of a they did a Last Supper sketch, but it was David Attenborough's Last Supper, and it kind of explains that he was using DNA sampling and his brother's Jurassic Park technology to bring all these people back to life. And it's Princess Diana and Winston Churchill and Isaac Newton and Freddie Mercury, and Tina Fey plays Agatha Christie. And it, I mean, it is very British, but it was very, very much, God, what's the word I'm looking for? Less restrained than the US version.
Yeah, okay.
But apparently there are, you know, people upset about it because, you know, Lady Di, she's dead. How dare you take her memory in vain? second episode, yeah, not as funny, but who knows?
So it's just,
it was all right.
It's just like the U.S. version then.
Sometimes, oh yeah, there's Weekend Update, and you know, yeah, there's a musical guest. Exactly like it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. It's on Peacock, so you can watch it on Sunday mornings.
Hmm.
And then on the U.S. version of SNL, Jack Black was the guest star.
Yeah.
And he was celebrating his fifth time being a host. So when that happens, you join the Five Timers Club.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like this sketch that's been going on forever.
Yeah, and I've seen that where
he goes to the fight.
They bring out like all these other hosts
show up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So this one had Tina Fey, Melissa McCarthy, and Candace Bergen.
Okay.
It's like, okay, that's interesting. And when she enters, you never see her walk on stage.
Yeah.
You just kind of see her in a doorway, and we're like, oh, she's just kind of propped up.
Oh, Jesus.
But for as funny as Jack Black is, I felt like every one of the sketches went on too damn long.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. That's a shame.
And there really wasn't one that stood out as, you know, hilarious. It's like, oh, this was really great.
Do you feel...
I did a skit where Jack Black is a Airbnb super host, and he comes to welcome these five kids who are on spring break, and then he tries to like hang out with them.
Okay.
And he's like hiding in the closet, and at one point Melissa McCarthy is hiding behind the curtains because, you know, they're just trying to hang out with some younger hip people, and it was like
What do you think the problem with Saturday Night Live is now?
I think it's the writing for the specific guest.
Yeah.
Because I've said this before. It's like the Betty White episode was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
And it wasn't her, you know, being her character from Golden Girls. It right. was, you know, all kinds of off wild shit, and it was really funny.
Okay.
But I mean, it's, you know, they did a sketch during Weekend Update about Kristi Noem's husband.
Yeah.
And one of the women comes out in a, you know, with a receding hairline and the spandex top with balloons in it, and you know, it was just all about her, you know, playing with the boobs and making boob jokes, and it's like, right. Okay. That's great, but yeah. Jack White was the musical guest, and I'm not a huge Jack White fan, so
yeah.
It was just kind of okay. So, still on the air, huh?
So Jack Black and Jack White.
Yes.
Okay.
And they made a point of saying that Jack Black was the first black joining the Five Timers Club.
Okay.
It's like, oh, okay. That's nice. What else? Have you been watching Monarch?
I am not caught up.
Okay.
I don't remember how many I'm in, though.
Six is the latest one.
They just did a heist to get the dude's transmitter back.
Okay.
And there was like, they thought the Titan was heading towards San Francisco, but it turns out that it was just a whale The one place is trying to undermine Monarch.
Right.
That's where I am. That was the last one.
Episode 6 is really good.
Yeah.
There's like a very interesting twist that happens at the end of it.
Okay.
So I hope it pays off, since there's only two more episodes after this one. I think it's only 8.
Let me look. There's 10.
10? Oh, okay. Yeah. We have 4.
Yeah. So I am 3 behind, I guess.
Okay. We don't have time to catch up.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's not a whole lot on, so I'll be able to get through it.
Right.
So I was, I think I told you last week, I had been watching a bunch of like old MASH episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So this week I went and I hunted down, the spinoff to MASH called After MASH.
Oh my God. That was horrible.
And I understand why it did not survive. Like it's not good.
No, it's not. It's they're so out of the element, and there's no longer the stakes of being in a war zone, and there's no Alan Alda.
No, and apparently, so what I was reading was, it lasted longer than I thought it did, though, because it does. It's like two seasons or something. I thought it was only one. But apparently, they were in talks with Alan Alda to reprise his role as Hawkeye when the show was canceled.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean they I get and I guess Radar was on it in a couple episodes. Yep. And Colonel Flagg was back, and I guess there had been talks for other cast members to show up, and then they never got around to it. Mm-hmm. But it's like for the same kind of creative team, because I know a lot of MASH was written by Alan Alda, but like the same, right. There was a lot of the same producers, a lot of the same directors, a lot of the same people that wrote other episodes were a part of After MASH, and they just could not get that magic again. Like there was something about the Korean War and those characters, like just having some of those characters back was just not enough.
No. And it's hard when you try to build a series around like secondary characters.
Yeah.
You know, I mean like Trapper John, I don't know if you ever watched Trapper John.
I saw a couple episodes.
Okay. So it was his life after MASH. Didn't really mention MASH at all. It was, you know, him getting accustomed to civilian life as a doctor. He's much older, so
yeah,
that worked fairly well. But I mean, you know, you've got Jamie Farr, and you've got William Christopher. You've got Father Mulcahy.
Yeah,
and those are your leads. It was weird. I mean, it could have been one thing if it was Radar and it was his life back on the farm after, what was it, his father died, his mother died, and they sent him home.
His uncle dies.
Oh, his uncle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think...
And it was just a bunch of...
I think with Trapper John, the fact that it wasn't Wayne Rogers reprising the role, and it was somebody else that like they could make it its own thing, even though Trapper John McIntyre was the main person. You know, I think that was probably what helped that show as much as it for as long as it was on. But like, yeah, you take some of the weakest characters and then try to make them the leads, and like Klinger's great for a punchline here and there. He's not main character material.
Right.
So it's very weird that like that was kind of their like, and apparently from what I had read was as the last season of MASH was being filmed, Jamie Farr and Harry Morgan and what's his name who played Father Mulcahy had basically William Christopher had basically said, we would like to continue with these characters if we could. And that's when they were like, well, maybe we could do a spinoff. But it doesn't work with those characters at all.
No, unfortunately.
No. I mean, and it's weird because like, MASH always towed the line between comedy and drama. And like in the first episode of Aftermath, Colonel Potter goes home and they're at bridge with a couple of neighbors, and one of the neighbors dies like at the table, and he reaches over and goes, "Oh God, he's dead." And like the wife passes out on the other side of the table. And it was like, that wasn't funny at all. Like there's no, the idea of like what humor should be, I think got lost.
Yeah.
You know, it was just very weird. So, yeah. Did you watch anything else?
No, not really. Like you said, there's not really a lot on.
No, there's not. Did we have any celebrity deaths this week?
No.
No.
We have a case of international intrigue in the news.
Oh, what?
Did you hear about the theft of over 400,000 Kit Kat bars?
No.
So it happened in Europe. The truck was going from Poland to Italy to deliver these Kit Kat bars, and it has vanished.
Oh.
They cannot find the truck anywhere. Nobody has like come forward and said, you know, we have your Kit Kat bars. Give us so much money and we'll get them back to you. So what Kit Kat has done is they have added a tracker to their webpage. So if you go to KitKat.com, you can put in the 8-digit code on the back of your Kit Kat wrapper, and you can find out if you've actually got the stolen candy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta see this.
I mean, Interpol must be all over this. To hell with Iran. Where's the Kit Kat, damn it?
KitKat.com just threw up a, "We're sorry, there seems to be a problem with our website," when I went.
Because there's so many people.
Well, I mean, if it happened in Europe, why would the candy be here? And how would you smuggle in that much Kit Kat?
Well, they might have sent it over here.
Look, I like a Kit Kat bar, but
well, that's, I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, it's probably the good chocolate.
Oh, like European chocolate, not like American chocolate?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh yeah, because ours is wax.
I never even considered the fact that Kit Kats in Europe might taste different.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow. You know, it was a bunch of kids that were fucking like, let's steal this truck.
And you think they're in the woods just gorging themselves on Kit Kat bars?
Yes, I do.
They're going to look like Augustus Gloop.
I mean, so it was 400,000 of them? Is that what it was?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wonder what the... Okay. Where's my... What do you think a bar, like a Kit Kat bar, goes for these days?
Like $2.
$2? So you're looking about...
Depends on where you buy it.
$800,000 worth of Kit Kat?
Yeah. Well, plus the truck.
Plus the truck. Okay, so well over $1 million just
close to $1 million.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So apparently it included limited edition Formula One themed chocolates from a truck traveling from Italy.
Oh, see, that's
why
they took them. Okay.
Oh man. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's a sad day.
So it's only the F1 Kit Kats, I guess. So if you're not buying those, then it's not worth even putting your thing into the stolen Kit Kat tracker. My question is, what if it is one of them? Then what happens?
Does a SWAT team's going to come to your house?
That's what I'm wondering. It's like, all of a sudden, is there a knock at the door? Where'd you get the Kit Kat from? I don't know. Yeah. I found it on the side of the road.
Got a receipt for that?
It's weird. Wow. I wonder what. It's going to be fascinating to find out what actually happened to it. Like, did they actually like sell it off? Did they try to like, you know, what did they try to do with the Kit Kat bars? Are they going to find a couple of people dead in the woods somewhere?
The driver is dead in the cab of the truck. There's all these empty wrappers.
And there's a couple of dead bodies because they didn't account for the sugar intake, and they all went into like a diabetic coma and just died.
Right.
Bleh. Wacky. Weird, wacky stuff. Is there any other news to talk about?
There's a reboot of Power Rangers coming.
Is there?
Yep. Where apparently they are throwing out all of the old canon and starting from scratch.
Oh, well, that's good because there were so many goddamn Power Ranger shows.
I know, right?
Maybe they're trying to get rid of the history of like violence that follows the Power Rangers. Cause there was the one dude who like killed himself a couple of years ago. There was another guy from like one of the first series that like, didn't he kill his landlord with like a samurai sword or something? Like there's a violent history to Power Rangers. So I could see why they'd want to like start over. Although there was I don't know if you ever saw the short that was out, I think it was out on YouTube. It was like a professionally done like Power Rangers short, and it starred like Katie Sackhoff.
Okay.
And what's the guy who just died? Jason Vanderbeek was in it. And it was like this serious retelling of like the Power Rangers story. And like it was stupid good. Like it was better than it had any right to be, and they just never did anything with it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty intense for like Power Rangers. All right, well, you got anything else for this week?
No.
No.
It's an uneventful resurrection day.
It is. Nobody died. Nobody came back to life. Oh, well. All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
It's John.
Have a good week.
Rock, rock. Thanks, Easter Bunny.